If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Wednesday, February 5th edition of Radio Free America here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Very glad you could be along tonight. The number is 718-305-7176 as usual. And as usual, government, government, for some reason, and I think I know what the reasons are, government just can't do anything right. It can't run a healthcare system. It can't run a retirement system. It cannot run an Olympics. You'll notice that when we have Olympics in the United States, such as the Los Angeles Olympics, that this dude named Peter Uberoth ran a long time ago, I think in 84 or something, the Los Angeles Olympics that were paid for almost 100% with private money worked out beautifully, all right? Uberoth was this business operating dude in Los Angeles, and he did very, very well in business. He knew a lot of people. Basically, the man knew everybody in business in this country. If you were at a certain level of business and you had been doing business for Peter Uberoth, you knew him and he knew you. All right. So I think the Los Angeles Olympic Committee or something tried to run the Olympics, and these were government-appointed people, and using government rules, government regulations, and extra heavy dosages of red tape, they screwed it up really bad. And they asked somebody like Uberoth to come in and run it, and he did. And he called all of his corporate buddies, and he got them to put in millions of dollars. And, yeah, there were ads everywhere, but I'll never forget the article in Time magazine talking about these Olympics in Los Angeles. And it went on and on at length, and obviously this was something like 30 years ago I read this article. It went on and on at length, excuse me, about the different companies that had donated different things. I mean, Exxon had donated enough gasoline to run the 10 smallest armies in the world for 6 months. I mean, just, you know, incredible figures like that. It was enough gasoline to run every bus in the city of Los Angeles for 20 years, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Yeah, I mean, just incredible. Companies donated food, hotels donated all kinds of accommodations. Just unbelievable. And the one quote in Time magazine that I remember was about the communication system that Motorola of Schaumburg, Illinois, which is Chicago, it's just west of Chicago, had donated to the Los Angeles Olympics for two-way radio communication during the Olympic Games. And the quote from Time magazine was, if a third-rate country had this communication system, it would be a second-rate country. I thought that was perfect. I mean, Motorola is the best. They maybe later I'll tell you why I think Motorola is the best. in any event, we all know about the Salt Lake City Olympics, the Utah Olympics that Mitt Romney ran. I think Mitt Romney also was brought in to kind of rescue the Olympics. And that's what he did. Apparently, he ran out all the corrupt influences of the Olympics. He ran those guys out. He was able to do, you know, incredible things. Mitt Romney is a very, very intelligent person. He is very educated, profoundly accomplished. You know, the fact of the matter is, Obama, if he had been looking for a job in a corporation in 2008, instead of looking for a job as president of the U.S., Obama would not have been hired to do anything at any corporation other than be a junior legal counsel. That's it. Now, junior legal counsel at some big company might make $200,000 a year, would have made as much money. But they wouldn't have given him anything more than that. I guarantee you the guy was simply not prepared. Now, Obama is a guy that believes, obviously, that government has a legitimate role and government has a lawful place in every aspect of every human being's life. That is just something that President Obama believes. That's the way he looks at things. The government is entitled to be there. That's all there is to it. And people have got to get with that. And, you know, people also have to they have to do what government tells them to, and all that sort of stuff. And obviously, we are conservatives. We do not believe that sort of thing. At least I'm a conservative. I hope you are. If you are listening to us on conservativenationmedia.com, I would hope that you are, you know, a conservative. I'm presuming that you're a conservative. Okay. Anyway, the fact is that government, there are things that government can do. There is absolutely, you know, I get into this discussion with liberals all the time. And I say, did you hear Donald Trump the other day? The Donald said that if he were governor of New York, he could cut taxes by 50%. There's no question. Listen, Donald Trump should be running the state of New York. He ought to be the governor of New York State. No question about it. And I believe that that would be the best thing that New York State could possibly do. He would certainly balance its budget. He would bring industry and business back to the state. He wouldn't do it by saying you can work, you can set up a new business tax-free for 10 years. You've seen the commercials on TV, right? You've seen them. If there's a new way to do business, we're open to it. In New York State, I don't think so. What I want to know is, what is the deal after the 10 years? That's basically what I'm thinking. You know, what is the deal after the 10 years, Governor Cuomo? Son of Governor Cuomo. We're about 8.5 minutes after the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number. Here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I started off at the top of this hour, and I have read quite a few things about the Olympics in Sochi, Russia. Don't know anything about Sochi. I've never been there. I've never been to Russia. I've never been to a communist country other than this one. And what I'm reading is that there are hotels that the Russian government is supposed to be putting up. They were supposed to be ready for journalists. They are not ready. There are some horror stories about people that, you know, news organizations that booked and paid for 11 rooms 5 months ago. They arrive there. There is one room, and the door will not lock. There is no hot water. You are not allowed. I mean, think about this, Red. This is the most incredible thing. If you have not traveled outside of first world Western countries, you will find this to be amazing. But the fact of the matter is, in Russia, and look, let's be honest, Russia is third world. As a physician who had traveled there extensively once said to me, Russia is third world. If you get sick, you die. That's what happens. So they have a long way to go before they even become a second world country. But they can't get anything done. They can't get anything together. They have signs in the bathrooms, in the hotels, not to flush your toilet paper down the toilet. Now, if you go outside of the first world, this is not uncommon, primarily because things like sewage treatment plants that can handle things other than just human sewage, it's not all that uncommon, and you can't flush your, you know, you can't dispose of the paperwork the same way you get my drift. I mean, the fact of the matter is, it is very, very, this is just utterly and completely, I think a lot of journalists are going to come back from Russia with a very negative impression of it, even more negative than the one that they probably have now. You know, I don't know if you were listening on this past Monday, there were some serious technical problems, but I don't want you to be discouraged because conservativenationmedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way, and we do. It's called Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Now, even if you are not from or have never even been to the volunteer state, you know the issues that are spreading out all over America are right now in Tennessee. Dave Vance, my buddy and the host, brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. About 13 and a half minutes after the hour now, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. On conservativenationmedia.com, I am having trouble logging into the chat room. And the reason is, I think, someone logged in using our corporate login information. And I don't really know who, but somebody did. I'm going to have to, I'm not really sure what I'm going to have to do about this. I think I'm going to have to basically shut down the chat room and, restart it. So let me see if that actually works. It's just one of the things that, life in the internet age has promised all sorts of things. It has delivered primarily on, on a lot of things it has delivered, but not on everything. Now, the reason I brought up the Olympics is that in Russia, obviously, most things are done by the government. The government is organizing and operating the Olympic Games over there, and they have already screwed things up. A lot of American journalists are going to hate Russia going in, because not because the Russians were once our enemy. Up until a couple of months ago, these American journalists liked Russia. They liked it a lot, because Russia used to have nuclear missiles pointed at America, and most journalists, being liberals, hate America. However, when the Russians passed laws against what they call gay propaganda, the American media turned against them. And now they are going over there, not to cover the Olympics, but basically to attack Russia for being anti-gay. Now, these are the same journalists that if you say to them, wait a minute, we allow in our country and we encourage in our country and we accommodate, go out of our way to accommodate in our country Mohammedans and Mohammedanism, but if you are caught with a Bible in Saudi Arabia, you can be executed just for having it. They will immediately say, that is another country's internal, that is their country's business. It's none of our business what they do. You know, they have laws in those countries that Christians and Jews are third-class passengers that got caught sneaking into the second-class car. And, you know, and the left in this country, boy, they are going to defend them. You know, what laws another country has is none of anybody's business except that country's, unless it's an anti-gay law that is from a country that is not primarily Mohammedan. I mean, you know, the left in this country, they are eventually will be hoist upon their own petard, as they say. But anyway, I'm going to take a quick break here. We will be back in a moment with a little bit more about Vladimir Putin's Olympics in Sochi, which begins this Friday. So stay right where you are.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. This is the Wednesday, February 5th edition, 2014. It's about 20 minutes or so after the hour. And thank you very much for being along. 718-305-7176 is the number. We've been talking a little bit about the upcoming Olympics. I don't know about you, but I'm one of these guys that can spot left-wing hypocrisy, double talk, and lies in almost everything. And I guess the reason is that having gone to high school at the height of the Vietnam War protest movement, I have kind of figured out that, you know, back then everything was political. The way you dressed was political. The way you held your fork in the lunchroom at school was political. The length of your hair, obviously. I mean, this was, everything was politics. And unfortunately, perhaps unfortunately for you, sir or ma'am, dear listener, that's the way it still is with me. But I'm presuming that you would not have listened in if you were not interested in some way in politics. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Couple of folks moving around there in the chat room. That's fine. You can call in. 718-305-7176. Now, what do you think is going to happen at the Olympics? First off, I can tell you I probably won't be watching very much of it except for the bobsleigh. I love the bobsleigh. It's been a Winter Olympic event, I think, for about 100 years. And those babies really move, you know. The four-man bobsleigh, they had luge, which is a one-man sort of sled, I think. They replaced that with something called skeleton, which is also a carved ice course with high walls and bank turns and everything. And you are one person laying on your back, feet forward, on this little tiny sled. And it's called skeleton. And those babies really move one at a time. But that bobsleigh, I love that thing. Four guys, they are all very, very serious athletes. They all have to be able to run with tremendous aggression down the starting track of the bobsleigh. And they practice this over and over and over again. They want to get that sled moving as rapidly as possible. If they can get that thing going up to 15, 17 miles an hour or something, and a human can run that fast if they're trained, if they are an elite athlete, they can move that fast. And there are four of them, the driver, the two men in the middle, I believe they're called pushers, and the brake man, he is at the back of the sled. And the sleds now are so high tech, they cost $1 million. You know, they are made by, they have aerodynamic designs that are done in a computer. They wind tunnel test them. They do everything incredible. And they paint them and finish them with a very special sort of extremely slippery coating, paint, wax, finish, or whatever it is. They're all beautiful. You know, they're gorgeous. They're unbelievable. And they will sometimes move at 65 to 70 miles an hour when they are heading down that bobsleigh course. And that bobsleigh course is brutal. And if the driver miscalculates a turn, the amount of inertia and the amount of mass in that bobsleigh, just the human crew alone is going to weigh about 800 pounds, at least 725 pounds. That is the, I mean, just think about that. The sled itself, I really don't know. We'll certainly know by this time next week. That would be the February 12th edition coming up a week from tonight. And I'll be delighted to talk about it with you. The bobsleds are great, or bobsleigh, as they say in Europe. I call it bobsleigh. I don't know why. But they, you know, they move, and if the driver miscalculates a turn and there is a bump, and the bump is enough to dislodge one of the men in the sleigh, that person can be very, very seriously injured. if they're heading down the track and they get bumped out of the sleigh, they don't have any way to stop. I mean, they are wearing suits that are designed to be as slippery as possible. They are designed to put up as little air resistance as possible. The size and shape, the length of the skis, the skates, the blades on the bottom of the bobsleigh, I am pretty certain that all those things are regulated by the IOC, the International Olympics Committee, and they have a special committee for bobsleigh. Normally, I think the Swiss, the Swedes, the Germans, they do very well on the bobsleigh. Our people have occasionally done very well on the bobsleigh, and it's going to be, you know, this is good. These are going to be the most high-tech bobsleighs that you can possibly imagine. There's no question about it. I mean, it's 2014, right? The bobsleighs that are going to show up at this Olympics starting later this week in Sochi are the most advanced ones that the world has ever seen, and they are going to really move. And obviously, I hope that we, the Americans, I hope that we win every single gold medal over there. We're not going to, but I hope that we do. I remember not very many. There's some people today that remember this country called East Germany that existed from 1945 until about 1998, I believe. And there was an old joke going around that East Germany was under Soviet control, just like Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, Romania, places like that. They were all under Soviet control. And the Soviet Union, basically, these countries had to do what Russia told them to do. That was pretty much the deal. And there was a comedy blackout, a kind of a funny, and I thought it was pretty funny. And it went something, here's the announcer at the Olympics. The judges are holding up their scorecards, and the announcer says, there's a 9.2, a 9.2, a 9.1, there's another 9.2, a 9.3, there's a 2.1 from the East German judge. You know, that's basically the way things were rigged, and the Soviets were bullies. And I think Russia, to a large extent, is still kind of a bully sort of country. You know, they like to throw their weight around, and a lot of people accuse America of being that way. The fact of the matter is, they don't know the half of it. They have no idea what real bullying is all about. I mean, unless you live in a country like Russia, you really don't know what it is really like to be bullied. I think that there have been some cases of There have certainly been cases of police brutality in the United States, but that is an everyday occurrence in a lot of other foreign countries. No question about that. Now then, we are at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a brief break. It should come as no surprise, and if you're a conservative, it doesn't, that our Constitution, which is the basis of our country and the central core of our values, is under attack. Sometimes it seems like everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. And if you are tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is just a footnote, a framework, be advised that an awful lot of real Americans like you and like me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee, just an hour southwest of Nashville, on the weekend of April 26th. It's really right around the corner. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr will be on hand. Our very own Kathy Hinners is going to be speaking there as well. And there will be great music and, of course, in Tennessee, great food and a splendid time is guaranteed for all. Go to www.defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about this great event, and I do hope to see you there. We'll be back in a moment with more of your calls, so don't go away.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't.
What?
You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit EnergySavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Okay, so five tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yes, indeed. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks here. This is the Wednesday, February 5th edition, 2014. Winter Olympics right around the corner. Just tried to find out something for you on the Olympic bobsled specifications, you know, all that sort of thing. Excuse me, and I was not able to pull that up quickly. So we will see what the deal is. You know, I will try to get some additional information for you. 718-305-7176 is the number. Let's see. Olympic bobsleigh, Sochi 2014. Apparently, we have some guys on Team USA, one guy from Park City, Utah, which is where my my cousin Dietra lives out there. They sometimes listen. I hope they're listening. The on the 16th of February, which is it's a week from this coming Sunday, the two-man and women's heat will be taking place then. And they have called out, they've got some pictures of a Slovak, an Austrian, a Frenchman, and a Canadian girl, Chelsea Valois. And they apparently are some, there are 172 athletes in the Olympic bobsleigh meet this year. Bobsleigh, this is from the official website of the Sochi Olympics, which is www.sochi2014.com. Bobsleigh entered the Olympic Winter Games program in 1924 in Chamonix, France. At that time, the competition took place between four-man bobsleighs. By 1928, four or five-man bobsleds were competing, and only men took part in the bobsleigh events. In 1932, with the exception of the games in Squaw Valley in 1960, where there was no luge and no bobsleigh track, a two-man bobsleigh competition was introduced alongside the four-person bobsleds event. In October of 1999, women's bobsleigh was added to the Olympic Winter Games program, and women competed for the first time in the two-person event at Salt Lake City in 2002. Today, bobsleigh involves high-speed mountain descent on special artificially made ice tracks on controlled bobs. Olympic bobsleigh competition consists of four runs held over a two-day period. Medals are awarded based on the total time of the four runs. There are three events that make up the Olympic bobsleigh program: two-man bobsleigh, four-man bobsleigh, and women's bobsleigh, two women on a team. The bob-driven sleigh, it consists of a main hull, a frame, a front and rear axle, and two sets of independent steel runners. There are two-man and four-man sleds. The driver controls the sled with his hands and fingers using rings that are attached to a steering mechanism by ropes. The competitors wear a specially made high-tech plastic composite helmet, which helps to prevent head injuries. The shoes are made of synthetic material with spikes on the soles for traction during the push start. The speed of the bobsleigh as it travels down the track may reach 150 kilometers per hour. Competitions between five-person bobsleigh teams consisting of three men and two women were held at the 1928 Olympics in St. Moritz, Switzerland. I believe that is Switzerland. In any event, it's going to be extremely interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. I am really looking forward to seeing it. When that film called Cool Runnings came out, I thought it was, I watched the movie. I thought it was great. I love the bobsled. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America at conservativenationmedia.com. Where America always wins. In any event, there are likely to be very serious problems at the Winter Olympics. They may rise to the Munich Olympics of 1972 level. I pray it does not. but it very well could. And this will, you know, this is not going to be a good thing if this happens. I think now the Russians, they are not going to pussyfoot around. They're not going to mess around. If there's any nonsense going on, they are going to send in Spetsnaz, that is their, you know, commando, special forces, police-type military, sort of the equivalent of our Rangers or Delta Force or Operation Blue Light. I don't think that they are the equivalent of our U.S. Navy SEALs. I don't think anything is the equivalent of United States Navy SEALs. I really don't. I know people that spent their careers as airborne special forces rangers in the United States Army, and they thought that the U.S. Navy SEALs were completely respectable and utterly admirable people. So, you know, if somebody in the 82nd Airborne thinks that U.S. Navy SEALs are A-OK, then you know they have got to be doing something right. There's a, you know, no question. But I don't think that the Russian guys are really are quite the equivalent of U.S. Navy SEALs. I just don't, you know. I'm sure the Russian guys mean well, you know. In fact, I'm positive that they mean well, but I'm also pretty sure that it's they're just not quite as, you know, nobody is up to speed like the U.S. Navy. Nobody is. That's pretty much all that there is to it. You know, one of the worst nightmares that can happen to an American today, besides Obamacare, is identity theft. If it happens to you, it could take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. So here's a hint. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24/7, 365, there really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. You will be very glad that you did. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Been talking a little bit about the Olympics. The fact is, you know, to bring everything back to the beginning here for a moment, I just don't think that the that government, whether it is ours or theirs or anything else, is are really capable of doing things like this. You know, government is capable of doing some things, but this is not something that government is capable of doing, and they shouldn't. You know, you've got to know your own limitations, and I think one of the problems with government is that, generally speaking, government does not have the ability to do things like the Olympics, like producing anything and getting it to people, you know, in a market for, I mean, it just doesn't. And our government doesn't, the Russian government, nobody's government really knows how to do that sort of thing. I don't think that there are any exceptions to that, really. You know, they don't do a particularly good job. And I think that there's a reason. You know, if you are a government employee, let's be honest, you know you're not going to be fired. I mean, it literally, it does not matter what you do as a government employee or what you don't do. You're not going to get fired. If you do, it literally is going to be front page news. Like that, not Lois Lerner, but there was another woman that got fired from the IRS. In that entire scandal, it seems only four people have lost their jobs with the IRS. I'd be all right if the entire IRS lost their jobs, but, hey, what do I know? Anyway, we are 14 and a half minutes now until the top of the hour. Going to take a quick break. On the other side of this, we will delve in a little bit more into the Olympics. And, of course, I think we should know, we'll touch on the Super Bowl, okay? Stay right where you are.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Sometimes in winter, I gaze into the streets and walk through snow and...
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Sometimes in winter, the Olympics takes place, and all the blood, the sweat, and the tears, and everything else that goes into it. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176, at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. In about 11 minutes, we will have news from Talk Radio News Service in Washington, D.C. with Jeff Holtzman. That is Ellen Ratner's company. You may remember Ellen as a contributor on Fox News. She appeared very often on Fox News Watch, which I thought was the best show on television. It had the best people. And they, you know, that show was on the air for a very long time until, I think, towards the end of the summer last year, and one day I was watching it, and at the end of it, John Scott, who was the host, said, you know, this is the end of an era, we're going off the air. And then a short while later, they have another show that comes on Saturday and Sunday with Howard Kurtz and with this lady that used to be the editor of USA Today, whose name I've forgotten. It's called Media Buzz. And it's very interesting, but frankly, I just don't think that it is as good as Fox News Watch, especially when Eric Burns was the host of Fox News Watch. They just let Eric go one day. And then they had a couple of other people, and then finally I guess they settled on John Scott. I don't think a show like that should be anchored by a guy who is himself an anchor. That's just my own feeling about it. But Ellen Ratner, who runs, I think she owns it, Talk Radio News Service in Washington, Ellen was a frequent panelist on Fox News Watch, along with people like Kirsten Powers, who is a leftist, anti-American a Democrat, but she is the best-looking girl in television by a long shot. Monica Crowley, Dr. Monica Crowley, was often on Fox News Watch. Jim Pinkerton. Ellen Ratner apparently is about 5'3", and Jim Pinkerton is about 6'6 or 6'7". He's even taller than O'Reilly. He's taller than me. I'm just under 6'3". But in any event, the two of them, on Saturday mornings occasionally there would be a segment on the Saturday morning Fox News program that was called The Long and the Short of It, in which Pinkerton and Ellen Ratner would argue. And, you know, it was almost like point-counterpoint from 60 Minutes with back in the 60s or 70s with Shayna Alexander and J.J. Kilpatrick. You know, a lot of fun, a lot of fun. But we get our news from Talk Radio News Service, and that is coming up in approximately 8 minutes, and it is the Wednesday, February 5th, 2014 edition, so make sure that you stand by for that. 718-305-7176 is the number. I think next Wednesday I may have Brad Bierman on again with me. Brad Bierman, as you know, is former radio sports director at WSYR in Syracuse. He has been a sports correspondent his whole life. Brad is an expert, incidentally, on the history of patches worn by sports teams. He knows all about them. He has a tremendous collection of patches worn by professional baseball and football teams. And he was invited to be a guest speaker at a convention, I think late last year, of people, late last summer rather, summer of 2013. He was at a convention somewhere. And it was a very large gathering of people who are in the professional sports apparel industry, and there are people that collect these items assiduously, and you know, Brad is one of these people. Brad is a very, very good collector. Brad has one issue, one copy of every issue of Playboy that has ever been published, and every issue of Sports Illustrated since about 1961, when Brad was like three or something. He's very dedicated to it. I'm going to ask him if he can get me a cap for the New York Knights. You know, they were one of my favorite teams. I mean, they, you know, they were just, I mean, Pop Fisher, the manager, and Roy Hobbs, that right fielder, the guy that took over for Bartholomew Bump Bailey, who, you know, tragically was killed going after a ball in right field in the outfield at Knights Field in New York in 1938. The poor guy, he was killed, you know, during the game. And, you know, they scattered his ashes over Knights Field, you know, in a from a biplane back then. I mean, just terrible. But I would love to have a New York Knights baseball cap, and I'd really love to have one of those lightning bolt shoulder patches inspired by Roy Hobbs's bat, Wonder Boy the bat, that they wore in 1938 when they won the pennant against the Pirates. And Pop Fisher hated losing to the Pirates. He really did. 718-305-7176. About 4.5 minutes left in this first hour of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Now then, modern-day bobsleds, this is from Wikipedia, modern-day sleighs, bobsleds, combine light metal, steel runners, and an aerodynamic composite body. Competition sleighs must be a maximum of 12.5 feet long. These numbers are all for the four-man crew. The runners are set at a 2.2-foot gauge. There is now a weight limit rule. The maximum weight, including the crew, is 1,388.9 pounds. All right? Think about that for a moment. If you've got four guys that weigh around 200 pounds each, that's 800. So that sled can't weigh more than about 588 pounds. The steering system is, as I mentioned, consists of two metal rings that actuate a pulley located in the forward cowling that turns the front runner. So there is there are Olympic specifications for the gauge of the runners, the distance between the two of them, 2.2 feet, something like that. And the weight is, it has a maximum weight, and it's got a length, a specified length. Apparently everything else is wide open. And it's, unlike NASCAR has a whole lot of mechanical specifications for their vehicles, and it has to fit the profile of a standard production vehicle like a Camaro, a Firebird, or something like that. I don't think the bobsled does. I think the bobsled just has the length and the weight requirements. About 2 minutes now until we go into the news at the top of the hour here on Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. We will see what happens at the Olympics. I mean, if the Mohammedan terrorists arrive and they begin targeting American athletes or Israeli athletes, I don't know how many Israeli athletes will be competing in the Winter Olympics. I just don't know. I mean, it could be everybody. I don't know. I have no idea. Don't know if the Jamaican bobsled team is going to be there this year. I remember back, I think it was 88 or 92 or something, that everybody was, rooting for them because they had, this is the first time that Jamaica had ever had a bobsled team, and they had one, and Walt Disney made a movie about it with the late John Candy. It was a very entertaining movie. Bobsleigh is brutal. It's all there is to it, and you have to be a tremendous runner to get that sleigh moving, and you have got to be a tremendously good with hand-eye coordination to be able to get to steer the sleigh so that you don't get killed. Because you can get killed. 150 kilometers an hour, oh, that has got to be like 90 miles an hour or something like that. I don't know. Maybe somebody can figure that out, converting kilometers to miles and all that other sort of stuff that the, Napoleon and his buddies came up with, the metric system. In any event, we do have the news coming up right now. About half a minute. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Stand by for news from Talk Radio News Service. Don't go away. Coming to you.
every hour on the hour. The weather's fine, but there may be a meteor shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. CVS announced today that it will stop selling cigarettes. The nation's second largest drugstore chain said that it will gradually phase out all tobacco products by the beginning of October. The decision will cost the company roughly $2 billion in annual revenue, but top officials from the company decided that they could no longer sell cigarettes and promote public health at the same time. President Obama applauded the move, as did his top spokesman here at the White House.
As somebody who used to smoke and used to, at least when I was living in the United States, buy a lot of cigarettes at CVS, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing.
Press Secretary Jay Carney. Former IRS official Lois Lerner will testify again before the U.S. House of Representatives. That according to Ohio Republican Jim Jordan, who is leading a GOP crusade to find out whether Lerner and other IRS agents intentionally targeted nonprofit groups simply because they were conservative. Lerner famously pled the fifth at a hearing last May. She eventually retired in September after spending 12 years at the IRS. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better. You're really okay?
You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back. This is ConservativeNationMedia.com, Radio Free America, to be specific. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. The number is 718-305-7176 is the phone number, as usual. The chat room is open for business. Thanks very much for being along. We have been talking a little bit about the upcoming Winter Olympics, and I have found out that at this moment, coming into the Olympics, the United States is the current bobsleigh Olympic champion. We have won 4 gold medals in the bobsleigh, ranking us overall number 3. Germany is number 1. Switzerland is number 2, followed by us. That is the U.S., us. And then Italy, Austria, Canada, Great Britain, Belgium, Russia, France, and in 10th place, tied with France, is the old Soviet Union. they used to cheat all the time. You know, they used to cheat. I mean, they cheated in every way imaginable. It's, you know, that just seems to be kind of the sort of thing that they, that they do in that part of the world. They just seem to do that sort of thing. Anyway, it's going to be extremely interesting. I am really looking forward to it. It is unlikely that there will be any fatalities. You know, these guys are just very good. There have been people killed in bobsleigh accidents over time, you know, in the last 100 years or so that they have been doing this sort of thing. You know, it's dangerous. I mean, most sports, you can get hurt in an awful lot of sports. Now then, speaking of sports, does anyone remember the movie with Brad Pitt called Moneyball? Absolutely a great film. And the guy that played the manager of the baseball team under Brad Pitt, who was the he was the general manager of the team and the coach, the day-to-day manager of the team, which was not the San Diego Padres, it was not the San Francisco Giants, I think it was the Oakland Athletics. The guy that played the manager of the team was the late Philip Seymour Hoffman. I am, you know, I'm sorry that he passed away. He was youngish. He was 46. I mean, you know, obviously if you're 21 or something, 46 sounds like that is the oldest human being on earth. It's not really the way it is. I realize that guy is now 46, and I think, well, you're a young guy. This comes from the New York Post, excuse me, by Larry Salona and Amanda Lozada. Cops raided a Manhattan drug den Tuesday night, that would be yesterday, and arrested suspected dealers who may have been the ones who sold heroin to actor Philip Seymour Hoffman, sources said. Authorities entered the Mott Street building. Mott Street is Chinatown. And at around 7:30 p.m. and nabbed four people after getting a tip that the, quote, Capote star, that is Hoffman, was sold heroin there a couple of months ago. The cops found about 350 glassine envelopes with what appeared to be heroin inside in three apartments in the building, according to law enforcement sources. The bags found in the apartments did not have the Ace of Spades stamp, which were on the bags found in Hoffman's apartment, sources said. Cops were acting on a tip and obtained a search warrant for the raid, sources said. Police arrested Robert Weinberg, Thomas Cushman, 48, Weinberg is 57, and charged them with felony drug possession. I really, you know, I'm just so sorry that this happened to the guy. Well, the guy did it to himself. I mean, you know, two younger people, Max Rosenblum and Juliana Luchku, both 22, were arrested and charged with misdemeanor drug possession. Luchku, a student at the new school, was camera shy at the 9th Precinct Station House in Manhattan Wednesday morning. "Stop taking pictures, stop taking pictures," she yelled at a photographer. Her colleague, Rosenblum, tried to console her. Quote, "This has nothing to do with you, babe," unquote, he said. When asked if he sold Hoffman heroin, Weinberg, a musician who goes by the name of Robert Aaron, and has played with stars like Wyclef Jean and Tom Jones, denied it. "No, I did not," he said sheepishly. Whatever that means, you know. who knows? I mean, you know, good grief. When are people going to realize that there is no upside to heroin? You know, there is simply no upside to it. Why would somebody, I mean, it has a really bad rap. I don't know why anybody would even would mess around with it. This also is from the New York Post by Jamie Schramm, Gene McIntosh, and Leonard Green. This came out today at 4:20 this afternoon. Philip Seymour Hoffman's number was on at least three different cell phones taken from a lower Manhattan apartment where his suspected dealer was busted Tuesday night, sources told the Post. The astonishing revelation further shows how desperate Hoffman had become as he lost his all-consuming battle with addiction. Cops raided a Mott Street apartment Tuesday night where Hoffman was seen months ago by a witness who had bought drugs at the place. Busted were Robert Weinberg, Max Rosenblum, Tom Cushman, Juliana Luchkew. It is unclear if the suspected dealers sold Hoffman the drugs he used when he died Sunday. Although the tip came from a known heroin user, investigators considered the witness a credible source because he, too, had Hoffman's cell phone number. Based on the witness's information that he and Hoffman were buying drugs from one of the dealers at the same time last fall, cops staked out the building for a day before making the arrests. Cops said that the key player is Weinberg, an entertainment industry-connected musician who has had ties to a legion of top stars, including tragic pop singer Amy Winehouse. They were going to make me go to rehab, but I said no. Just think, Amy Winehouse might still be alive today if she had said yes, yes, yes. But I digress. Weinberg's stepdaughter, Christina Soto, admitted her dad is a drug pusher and knew the actor, but insisted he didn't sell Hoffman the drugs he did just before he died. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, there really is just, why on earth would anyone even try it? It is just too, I have never, ever heard of anybody having a good experience with heroin. I mean, come on, just the name alone, it's a, if that doesn't conjure up, you know, images of life being a horrible one, then I really don't know what does. Now, I have noticed, incidentally, that the police really, really hate heroin. If there's one thing in the world that the cops hate, it is heroin, I guarantee you. This call, excuse me, looks like it's Christian in Denmark. What's going on, pal?
Well, I was just, you know, listening in to your little speech here about Hoffman and his tragical death.
Yeah, it's just bad.
Yeah, you say it's tragical, and that was what I was aiming at, what I was coming to. The thing is that that a tragic death is like he's out driving, and a drunk guy just drives into him and he dies. That's tragic. That's something that he couldn't have helped. He actually did it to himself, so I don't know. You know, I like to sometimes on a Saturday night have a few drinks, listen to country music. And when I get up Sunday morning, I perhaps have a hangover. And that's not tragic because I brought it on myself. I knew that that could be the consequence. That could be the consequence. So there's no reason, you know, to pity me on a Sunday morning when I have had drinks on a Saturday night. And this is the same way, you know. There's no reason to pity him. He knew it was dangerous, and he still went ahead and took the needle into his arms, you know. he's dead, and that's his own choosing. And basically what I think is that a lot of his friends are making all these movies where they are kind of promoting, kind of making it cool to be a drug gangster, be on drugs, you know, sniffing coke, and, oh, Harry, oh, you're just such a bad guy, and so on and so on. And, you know, I think it's great that they taste their own medicine. And you know, so he's dead. In my book, it's just another dead junkie, and that's only just like a part of the solution. So I don't think there's anything to cry about. Actually, I think it's good that that a famous, probably a liberal guy, you know, shows that that way of living is not healthy, and it leads to death, because a lot of impressionable young teens sees that, and perhaps they think, oh, perhaps this drug way is not so cool anyway, and then they stay away from it. So I actually think it's a good thing.
Well, I don't want anyone to die that way, or really any way, if possible. However, you know, at the end of the day, nobody gets out of here alive. But there is just no point to the you know, using heroin. I don't get it. You know, it's got such a bad reputation. Why would anybody even try it? Now, here's another story from The Hollywood Reporter. Came out around just before 6 o'clock East Coast time today. Playwright David Barr Katz filed a $50 million lawsuit after the publication claimed, this is the Inquirer, he told them he and the actor were gay. I mean, this gay lovers, this is just, and this guy, Hoffman, was a very good actor. There is no question about it. So,
yeah, but so
I'm kind of bummed, you know. Yeah, I know
he's
was. I know he was. And that's
so,
all over the place in Hollywood, unfortunately.
Yeah,
now, let me ask you this. What are you hearing in Denmark about the upcoming Olympics in Sochi, Russia?
I'm hearing a lot about all the gay laws that they have, these so-called anti-gay laws. There's a lot of commotions here in Denmark about it, all the gays, you know, communities and groups they want, you know, they basically want to boycott the Olympic, you know, to stay at home. But I mean, in these times, you know, almost every time that there's a big sports event, there's someone that wants to boycott it, because, you know, the basic thing is that, sorry, the thing is that we are very different people all around the world. And I'm sure of that if you guys over there knew everything that went on in Denmark, some of you guys would probably think that you should boycott an event here in Denmark, because we're just different people all over the world, and we look at things differently. And if you want these big sports events, then we just have to accept that we are very different people. And politics is here, and sports is another way.
Well,
that's what I think.
You know, the laws that you're talking about don't make it illegal to be homosexual.
No.
They just make it illegal to do what we in this country would call celebrating the gay lifestyle. You're not allowed to do that over there.
Yeah,
and
I really think that's good law.
You know, that's you're not allowed to do that in any Mohammedan country. But
no,
the left in this country doesn't have an issue with that. They only have an issue with it being, you know, forced back into the closet or something in Western countries. What a bunch of hypocrites, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and it's basically like this, that they're very much against, you know, anti-gay laws if it comes out of Christian countries. But if it comes out of Muslim countries, way stricter laws, because basically in many Muslim countries it's forbidden to be gay, and if you're caught at it, then they hang you. Or stone you.
You're executed.
Right. You know, the gay organizations, they just give them a pass of other political purposes. which is really beyond me. And basically, you know, I think that the Russians have seen that the Western countries have been kind of, and don't get me wrong, no, I have nothing against gay people, but we have been a bit pussified. The males here in the Western world, we have become way too soft on this, and there are too much gay values, I think, going around. And I think that basically that the Eastern European countries have learned from that and see that they got to have their men, you know, being hard and being real men. And I think that's what's going on. I think that they're going to be the better for it in the long run. You know, I don't think that all this gay lifestyle has helped us out very much. It has made our men softer, and you need strong men to defend a country like you had in the old days. So when in America, for instance, you know, the guys who won the Second World War.
Well,
there weren't much gay lifestyle going on there.
Well, there have always been gays in the military going back to ancient. I mean, there have always been gays in the military,
of course, but they have not been allowed
to be open about it. They were not allowed to, they had to keep it on the down low, as they would say in certain communities here. They had to keep it very, very quiet because it was always against regulations. And during World War II, if you got caught in a homosexual position, relationship, something like that, they, in the Navy or the Marines, they would send you to Portsmouth Naval Prison for 85 years. They were not going to have it. They were just not going to have it. I am worried about the effect that this will have on our military now that you can be openly gay and you can serve. I'm wondering if there are going to be a lot of gays signing up so that they can hook up, and if there are then going to be a lot of straight people who are going to say, I'm not going to join because I don't want to be in a position like that. It worries me. There are gay people who are absolutely capable of doing the things in the military that need to be. There are some gays who are just super patriots. There's no question about that.
Yeah, no question about that. But you got to look at the big picture, and you got to look at morale amongst the soldiers. And that's why I don't believe that there should be women in the army also. I believe it should be straight white Christian males, basically. Because
people in the military. You can have Jewish people in the military.
You just need to be very much alike when you are in the ranks, so that the spirits are high, and the morale is high, and that you all feel that you are one and the same. And so you gotta take out as much differences as possible. I think anyway.
I have often advocated for a universal draft in the U.S. That would be fine. Everybody should have to do 2 years or 2.5 years or something of military service. It is a leveling force in society, but it should be absolute.
There are no exceptions. You really think that every young guy should be in the army for 2 years? Isn't that a lot?
I don't think it is. No, I don't think it is. I think that it is a unifying and a leveling force in the society. The military teaches you things that you cannot learn anywhere else.
And
for that reason, I think that, you know, the people that fought World War II were people that were born in the late teens through the mid-1920s, and those people learned things in the military that enabled them, by and large, to accomplish tremendous things later on in their lives. Yeah. And I think that people like me, who were never in the military, lost a really good opportunity. I mean, I should have gone in when I had the opportunity to. I don't know why I didn't. I should have. You know, I absolutely should have.
But it's just, you know, like it's just like 5% of the of all the time that they can be out in the workforce that you want them to spend in the army. I think that, you know, half a year it would be half a year or 9 months would be enough. But I do believe that it should be for everyone. But I just think that two and a half years is a bit much, because, you know, we need the young people out in the workforce, out, you know, creating jobs, creating wealth, and helping out in the non-warish areas, so to speak.
Well, I understand what you're saying there, Christian, but I think to a large extent...
There is a fiscal...
Yeah,
I think
to a large extent we, you know, the society would make an adjustment for that. You know, it really would. And I think an employer would rather have someone that has a year or two of actual military discipline under their belt than someone who has absolutely no concept of what it means to follow the instructions of someone else who is lawfully entitled to issue them, you know.
And you're right. I've hired caretakers, you know, to take care of me, help me out, you know, because, you know, I'm disabled, and I've also learned that the people that have served in the army, they are much easier to be a part of the team and to, you know, get their job done, really. So I think that it is,
yeah, that's
it is
right.
A good thing for employees to have been. I mean, you know, it's for young guys, you know, it teaches them, you know, to do the things right and be a part of the team, and it's not always about you, and mommy is not always there to do it all for you.
Well,
and
that's
a very good thing.
You made a statement on Facebook the other night, which you and I discussed on Facebook for a few minutes, and you made the statement that the United States has never lost a war. And I very much appreciate your vote of confidence in our country. America should be flattered by having a good guy like you being in our corner, and we appreciate that. However... You know, as I pointed out, we have lost, you know, we sent the U.S. Army into Mexico in 1917 to track down this Mexican dude whose name was Pancho Villa, and we were never able to find him. I think one could say that, you know, technically that was an incomplete mission. And in Vietnam... You know, we had to, you know, we left the South Vietnamese by themselves, and about a year or so later, the North Vietnamese had, you know, essentially we left the enemy in possession of the field, and that's the definition of losing, and it was just disgusting and disgraceful, and there is no way, and I think... you know, Charlie is the bad guy. The commies are the bad guys.
I've always seen Vietnam as kind of a draw, because, you know, you weren't really defeated. You just chose to go home.
Well,
you weren't defeated. You weren't defeated by the enemy, like the communists. You were defeated. If you should speak of defeat, you were defeated at home by the liberals, like you know, the defendants.
Yeah, that is exactly correct.
And,
yes.
And Woodward and Bernstein, that even though you were in this conflict, ran this horrible campaign against Nixon, which I still to this day think that it was made far too much out of, you know, that the Watergate thing. It was bad, but, you know, he didn't have to resign over it, I think. I think that's a lot of dirty things going on in politics. You know, let's be adults, let's see it as it is.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, but I'll tell you what, I would like you, your signal is breaking up a little bit, but I would like you to call me back next Wednesday, okay?
Cool. I'll do that.
All right. Give me a call back on Wednesday. Have a wonderful week, my friend Christian. Always great to hear from you.
Thanks. And God bless America.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great evening in Denmark, where I guess it's around 12:30 or 1:30 in the morning over there. I am going to assume, as I always have, that if you are listening to me right now on conservativenationmedia.com, that you are a conservative. And that, of course, means that you love America, just like all of us do. You don't want to get caught short in case that leftist government in D.C. drops the ball and leaves our country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Now, since that's the case, you need a supply depot where you can get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities that are used to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I'm going to take a quick break. Back with more of your calls after this, so don't go away.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face and cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All righty, welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. The number is 718-305-7176. as I just typed in the chat room. Always great to hear from Christian. I look forward to hearing from him again next Wednesday. I've got to really, really somehow, we've got to figure out a way to get Christian over to America. Sadly, Christian is in a wheelchair. However, and he needs a person to be with him. But I think that we could probably swing to get two people over here from Denmark to the United States and arrange for Christian to spend, 4 or 5 days over here, maybe go to a Green Bay Packers game or something. You know, I think that that would be tremendous. Last year, in my capacity as communication director of one of the Republican committees here in Delaware, I bought some advertising, some media on Facebook. And you call Facebook and they have people that walk you through it and they get your credit card number and blah, blah, blah. Well, the guy that I spoke with, and I've forgotten his name, he was a very, very nice guy, and he was, an Aussie or a New Zealander or something. He was either from Australia or New Zealand. And, while he was taking my order and, we were going through all the different things and he was typing stuff into his computer, I was chatting with the guy. The guy had come to the United States, I think, in early September or something. Maybe it was the year before, I forget. But the guy had come to America. He had never been here before. He was over here for a couple of weeks, I think. And he knew someone, and somehow he got tickets to go to a Green Bay Packers game at home at Lambeau Field. I mean, look, there are people that would, the Green Bay Packers, you're not even an American and you come to this country for the very first time and you go to a Green Bay Packers game. I mean, it's just, that's like storybook stuff. Come on. You know, I asked him how he liked American food, and he indicated that he thought it was superior. You know, he said something like, right, mate, there was a lot of things I wasn't used to, but it was great. We have the best food in the world here. We've got the best of everything in America. When I was in Europe, I met this British dude, very nice guy. We were in Brussels, I think, and we were, a bunch of English-speaking people that were sitting around in the lobby of the hotel shooting the breeze. I think it was the Brussels Hilton or something. When I was in Europe, I did not spend any time with a backpack going, hitchhiking from youth hostel to youth hostel. That's not the way I did Europe. That isn't what I did. Anyway, here we were in this hotel, and there was a guy from America. That guy, I'm not really sure that I trusted that guy all that much, but the British guy was very cool, and he had been on business in New Orleans during the Mardi Gras, okay? And he said he had been to America a couple of times in his life, but he had never been to New Orleans. I was about 20 years old at the time, and I asked him how he liked it. And he said New Orleans was awesome. He said not only was the booze outstanding, and he said it was cheap compared to what I have to pay in the UK. He said the food in New Orleans was utterly beyond compare. And he said the music that he heard live in New Orleans was unlike anything. I mean, New Orleans is truly one of the greatest cities in the world. It is wonderful. I've been there a couple of times, both times before Katrina. But New Orleans is tremendous. You cannot get a bad meal in New Orleans. You can't. The competition is too intense. If you try to open up a restaurant in New Orleans and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to be out of business in no time. You know, you cannot. I mean, a guy selling beignets or po' boys or muffalato or something out of a cart, I mean, you know, on a street corner, it had better be world class, because word will get around in no time that your food just isn't up to the standards. And the standards in New Orleans for food are incredibly high. I mean, good grief, unbelievable. And people often say, oh, man, New Orleans, man, it's like so Poe and all, man, it is a Poe town. It's not. Newsflash, if you go to New Orleans, you will see a lot of poverty, but the city itself is not poor. There is a part of New Orleans that is called the Garden District. And you can tell that the houses are lived in by people who have just, tremendous amount of capital. I mean, there is no question about that. And the standards for food and the standards for music and for art and literature in New Orleans are just incredibly high. Absolutely. I mean, the food, I mentioned that. Do you like seafood? Do you? I don't, but I would love to be able to take my girlfriend Linda to New Orleans sometime so Linda can experience. Linda's from New England, so, and, you know, let's be honest, they know about seafood in New England. There isn't any question about that. Boston is famous for its seafood. Parts of, coastal, Marblehead, et cetera. Down east in Maine, you'll remember last week I had my basically lifelong friend Guy Chesensky on the air with me. He lives in Searsport, Maine on the Penobscot River. You take that Penobscot River down to the Atlantic Ocean and, you know, you can get lobster. They know about seafood in Massachusetts and in Maine. There's no question about it. But they also know about it in New Orleans. And some would say that New Orleans seafood is in a class by itself. You know, I guess if you like seafood, maybe you can judge. You know, you can express yourself the way you want to in America, at least for now, because America is still the freest country on this earth. And those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't about to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away. And our very own constitutional scholar, Matthew Opalisky, is leading that charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You know, I've got a feeling that we're going to be hearing pretty soon from that crazy constitutional scholar. and I don't mean a postcard. 15 and a half minutes until the top of the hour here on conservativenationmedia.com. This is Radio Free America, the Wednesday, February 5th, 2014 edition. Duke Brooks here. Have you paid a lot of attention to the Bill O'Reilly interview with the president that took place on Super Bowl Sunday? I watched bits and pieces of it. Look, I've got to be honest with you. This president is a profoundly disingenuous individual who rolled out lawyer's dodge after lawyer's dodge. This guy is, you know, sadly, I think he embodies every negative thing about American politicians. You can tell when he's lying because his lips are moving. I mean, that's, you know, really what it comes down to. It's just ridiculous. Look, there are some Republicans that are like that. I know there are. It seems to me that virtually all Democrats are, but there are some Republicans that are that way. Charlie Crist was on TV last night. I think might have been on Hannity, or I think it was Hannity. I forget. But Charlie Crist used to be a Republican, then he became a Democrat, and it's obvious to me that guys like that don't have any principles at all other than, I want to be reelected, and I'm going to do anything necessary to get reelected. Gang, look, that is not what Madison and Washington and Hamilton, that is not what they had in mind when they wrote the United States and Adam, when they wrote the U.S. Constitution. It just is not. All right, it isn't. About 13 and a half minutes to go in this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. More of your calls, probably Matthew Opalisky, maybe even some Super Bowl chat coming up after this, so stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person. And if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi. This is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
Listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All righty, welcome back. This is the home stretch of this, the Wednesday, February 5th, 2014 edition of Radio Free Del Marva, Radio Free America, rather, on conservativenationmedia.com. Look, I'm going to keep on doing this until I get it right, okay? Anyway, thanks a lot for being along. 718-305-7176 is the number. I have just been informed that it is illegal to heat the runners on a bobsleigh, and that the temperature of the runners is, those are the steel blades on which the sled, you know, moves on that that ice line. Just unbelievable. And you're not allowed to heat the runners beforehand because that would give you an unfair advantage. And they also weigh the bobsleigh at the end of the race to make sure that it is not overweight, to make sure that, you know, somehow no one was able to pick up something additional weight. You know, I mean, it is obviously a highly technical sport. You know, the handles that that they use to push the bobsleigh, those are very, very technically complicated things with all kinds of springs and cams and everything to get them to retract exactly correct. This is from the Sunday Telegraph in London. And it says, it's got some very interesting drawings. It says, from a standing start, the crew pushes the sled in unison up to 50 meters, which I think is 60 yards or something. This distance is typically covered in less than 6 seconds, and speeds of over 25 miles per hour are reached. Timer starts when the front of the sled breaks the line of an electronic eye at the start line. The driver jumps in first, then the pushers, and finally the brakemen. Once the athletes are inside, the push handles are folded in. The pushers and brakemen duck their heads to reduce the drag. The runners can only displace 3 inches to either side. That is a regulation, and it is, you know, it is really the course record. At something called the Whistler Sliding Center is 95 miles per hour. 95 miles per hour. Can you imagine being in something like that at 95? The when they're on the course, the only one who is, you know, is looking out and up at what is going on is the driver. Everybody else has their heads down to reduce aerodynamic drag. It is, you know, 95 miles per hour basically coasting. You know, you're gliding down at 95, but you had better be on top of what is happening. If you go too high in the turns, you will lose a lot of speed. If you go too low, you will not have enough inertia coming out of it. Finding the exact right line is key to being a good driver. In addition, you know, the drivers and the pushers, those are obviously Olympic world-class sprinters. They are incredibly good sprinters and very, very fast. They can get that thing going, as I just read to you, up to 25 miles an hour. That is moving. You know, with just four people pushing something on the ice. That is moving. Anyway, we've got about 6 minutes left. Let's bring in our good friend and our friendly local constitutional scholar, Matthew Opalisky, the host of tomorrow night's Liberty and Constitution Community here on conservativenationmedia.com. Matthew, welcome aboard, my friend. How you doing, buddy? Matthew, are you with me? I see you on the you're on the board. I'm not really sure why I don't hear you. But anyway, Matthew is with us. Let's try doing this, and let's see if this is going to bring Matthew back with us live. I'm not really sure what the problem is. All right, Matthew went away. I hope that he will come back and try this again. I'm not really sure what the issue is. Let us see if we have him now. Matthew, are you with us?
Hey, good evening, Duke. I'm not sure what was going on. I was trying to call you, but I don't know. Maybe it was a glitch on my end or something or other. But how are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing it fine, and, you know, I think what we need to do is just blame Blog Talk Radio. That's what everybody else does. We may
well do the same thing.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, it's probably the NSA. That's what it really is. So what is happening on LCC, Liberty and Constitution Community, tomorrow night? How are things going, and what do you have in mind?
Well, tomorrow I think what we're going to do is I'm still in the process of possibly snagging a guest. I don't want to tip my hat on that, so I'm not going to say anything about that. But one of the things I am going to talk about is I'm not sure if you – maybe some of your folks might have caught the news today. There's a bill that's been introduced by Representative Paul in Congress that's going to possibly allow – or just, I mean, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but his intent is to allow – those with a concealed carry permit to carry inside postal buildings, which, I mean, I don't really think you need a law for that. We have the Second Amendment, but I guess I can digress just a little bit. But on the heels of that news comes word that the federal government via the Postal Service is trying to stock up on ammunition for some reason, and I don't know why. I don't know why the Postal Service would need to purchase ammunition, but that was in the news today. So we're gonna explore that issue quite thoroughly.
Well, it sounds to me like it is either an effort to prevent or to aid and abet its own employees going postal, as they say. You know.
But you know, it's interesting. It's curious, given that you and I, you know, live in a small area per se. You know, I live in Greenwood, small town, population maybe 900, and I'm down to the post office. Regularly, at least every other day, if not daily, given you know the nature of business that I'm in. And I got to tell you, the sweetest little postal postmaster down there, I cannot imagine she'd be carrying a firearm.
Well, you know, you never know. And as they say, an armed society is a polite society. And
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I am absolutely convinced that if there, you know, if you live in a state like Vermont, and in Vermont there is only one firearms law, and that is that you may not use a firearm in the commission of another crime.
Yeah.
Other than that, you can carry it concealed, you can carry it open, you can own as many as you want, you can buy and say, you can do anything. And the crime rate in Vermont, from what I understand, of all states, Vermont has the lowest murder rate per capita of every other state in the union. Am I correct about that? Or
if that's not completely accurate, it's damn close to it. There are four states that allow what they call constitutional carry. And those states historically have enjoyed a lower homicide rate because, I mean, let's face it, criminals, they don't want to put themselves in harm's way just like you and I don't want to put ourselves in harm's way. So
that's right.
If the citizenry is not restricted, then there's no telling who has a firearm. So thus, crime is lower because the criminals are not as apt to believe someone is a victim, whereas take yourself to Washington, D.C. or some other liberal mecca where there's many a gun control law, say Chicago, and your average Joe walking down the street probably does not have a firearm because of the hoops they have to jump through. Therefore, criminals are more apt to do crime against them.
That's exactly right. Matthew, I look forward to hearing you tomorrow night, my friend, the Liberty and Constitution Community. Right here, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on conservativenationmedia.com. Anyway, thank you, Matthew. That will just about wrap it up for this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along, and I look forward to speaking to you again next Wednesday night. Have a great night now.